The West Bank and Gaza are at the brink of a humanitarian crisis of hunger and disease. That assessment is contained in a new report by USAID, incorporating data from the World Bank, the UN, and other organizations. NPR's Anne Garrels has this report, starting in the Gaza Strip city of Khan Yunis.
Surrounded by her seven young children, Mirvat Khalid stands in the middle of her bare cinder block house. Like an increasing number of Palestinians, the family has sold off its belongings in order to eat. The refrigerator is gone. The TV is about to go. It's not much use since the electricity was long since cut off.
As you see, there is no flour, she said, no oil, no food. You see the kitchen, you can look. The kitchen is completely empty.
Her husband's unemployed. The only breadwinner in the house is her eldest son, Osama. This skinny 10-year-old started work today on an empty stomach. From 3 a.m. to 7 p.m., Osama works along this highway. Because it passes by an Israeli settlement, the Israeli army will not permit Palestinian cars with no passengers. A lone driver might be a suicide bomber. So Osama gets paid to be a passenger, to be security. He goes back and forth, making about $2 a day. The World Bank estimates 70% of Palestinians are now living below the poverty line of $2 a day, with 22% of children suffering acute or chronic malnutrition. Here in Gaza, unemployment soared when Israel closed the border, locking out Palestinian workers. In the West Bank, road closures, curfews, and the military conflict have taken their toll. In the West Bank city of Nablus, 42-year-old Yusuf Abdallah asked the storekeeper to let him buy food on credit. Out of work since the Palestinian uprising began 2 years ago, he and his family are living on handouts from relatives. Food rots in the shop because the owner says people simply don't have any money. According to the AID report, more than half the Palestinian population report having to decrease their food consumption. Those affected most by these conditions are young children and pregnant women. In the maternity ward at the Rafidia Hospital in Nablus, staff have seen a dramatic increase in the number of premature and underweight babies. Dr. Hisham El-Nana attributes this to a combination of poor diet and the difficulty of getting to health facilities. Because of curfews, road closures, and fear of Israeli troops, he says women do not have regular checkups. A growing number are delivering their children at home with no medical assistance.
We're losing lots of babies. We have complications to the women who come to the hospital because they come too late.
The Palestinian Ministry of Health reports hospitals are operating at about 30% of capability. Doctors can't cross checkpoints to reach their jobs. Supplies are another problem. Some doctors acknowledge part of this problem is corruption within the Palestinian government, but they say Israel is the biggest obstacle. Ambulance attendant Mahmoud Nasser says some soldiers are more helpful than others. One recent night, Israeli soldiers detained his ambulance for 3 hours.
We beg them, please, we cannot delay. We have a patient in a critical situation. She will die, maybe she will die. Who is going to charge the responsibility if anything happened to that patient, if she died? The soldiers kept stopping us, laughing with each other. They didn't allow us at all to move and to take the patient to the hospital. Until 3.
The patient survived. To defuse the anticipated international outcry at the USAID report, Prime Minister Ariel Sharon has decided to move ahead with plans to ease conditions for ordinary Palestinians uninvolved in terrorism. These measures include giving humanitarian groups greater freedom of movement, allowing 2,000 Palestinian merchants to trade in Israel, and permitting more Palestinians to work in Israel. At yesterday's cabinet meeting, several ministers attacked Sharon for approving these measures. Dr. Jacob Adler, medical advisor to Israeli authorities in the occupied territories, says Palestinians have brought many of these problems on themselves.
People are afraid presently to employ workers from the West Bank and Gaza. And as you know, the government has proclaimed that it will open up the access for more workers inside Israel. But I'm not sure this will happen, because I would be reluctant to employ somebody from Gaza when looking at what happened in the last weeks and months.
In response to the AID report, the U.S. government today announced plans to increase food and emergency health and nutrition assistance to the affected populations. But just as the delivery of aid is controversial in Israel, it's expected to spur a heated debate on Capitol Hill. Anne Gerrels, NPR News, Jerusalem.